And so what I want to do in the next few minutes is I want to take you through some passages that talk about what the primary purpose of God is for our lives, so that we can evaluate this for our personal lives, but so that we can also evaluate it as a church and where we're going as a church. John described, this is in 1 John, John described the Christian life this way in 1 John chapter 4. He says, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Whatever Jesus is what we're to be. Whatever he lives for is what we're to live for. Now, let me give you Paul's description. He says in Galatians chapter 2, he says, that I might live for God. That I might live for God, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. This is his description of the Christian life. The Christian life isn't lived by us. It's lived by Jesus. And God's purpose, and many of you have heard this, I'm going to say it to you again. I want to make it really, really clear. God's purpose is to kill you. Jesus Christ went to the cross to take you and your sin and nail it to the cross to kill the old man, to kill the old life, and then out of that, bring into your life a resurrection life. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ manifest in these earthen bodies. But in order for that to happen, you've got to kill the corpse and get it out of the way. That's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not I, but Christ lives in me. That is a description of the Christian life. The Christian life is Jesus living his life through us. Okay, so now we've heard from John, we've heard from Paul, now I want you to hear from Jesus. This is Mark chapter 8. If anybody desires to come after me, to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. These are the words of Jesus, our Lord, the one that we've given our life to. This is his description of the Christian life. John said it this way. He says, as Jesus is in this world, so are we. Paul says, it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Now you hear Jesus saying, whoever wants to save his life for himself is going to lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and the gospel, that person will save it. Now I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, if anybody tells you that Christianity is anything less than that, don't listen to them. If anybody tries to tell you that you can actually live your own life, live however you want in this world, you know, all of the purposes of this world, all the goals of this world, all the things that people want to live for in this world, that you can do all of that and live the Christian life, I want to say to you, you're being sold a pack of lies. The beautiful thing is that if we seek first the kingdom of God, lots of things get added unto us. You can actually still live in a house and own a car and, you know, have some things and be a Christian. But every single thing we have is for the purposes of the king and his kingdom. Your job is for the purpose of the king and the kingdom. Your family is for the purpose of the king and the kingdom. Your wife, your husband, your children, they exist for the purpose of the king and his kingdom. And every day we lay down our purposes. We lay down our lives. We lay down our goals. We lay down even our dreams in order to take up Jesus' will, Jesus' heart, Jesus' purpose. So I want to show you, I'm just going to walk you through a bunch of scriptures this morning that are going to spell out from the Word of God where God's heart beats, where the heart of Jesus beats, because our heart needs to be beating in sync with his heart. The passion of his heart must become the passion of our heart. This is God's purpose for the Rock Church. This is God's purpose for all churches. All churches are to lay down, everyone is to lay down their life, and we are to be consumed with the vision of Christ. Now, I'm going to give you just a couple points, three simple things, and then I'm going to get to what I really want to share with you. And I don't have time to go into some of these because they're too big. So I want to go to one place. Okay, one of the primary purposes, the purposes why Jesus came to this earth. One of the primary purposes is to have relationship with you, personal, intimate, face to face, heart to heart, life to life relationship with you. Now that manifests in a whole variety of ways. Anybody who is developing this purpose of Christ is going to develop, please listen to this, a lifestyle of personal intimacy with God. I'm just going to share this with you guys. If you right now would describe your life as it's not really about too much personal intimacy with God, I want to say to you that there's a whole element of what God has created you for that God wants you to come into. This relationship, this thing that Jesus came into this world for, was actually to have intimate personal relationship with us. I hear his voice, he hears my voice. I hear his heart, he hears my heart. I walk with him. I talk with him. You know, he's ministering into my life, not just on a Sunday morning when you come here, but he's actually ministering into my life, moment by moment, day by day. If you haven't developed that kind of relationship, that is one of the purposes that God has for you. It's a personal, intimate relationship. Now, that includes a lifestyle of worship. You can't come to God without a revelation of his infinite greatness and beauty and goodness, his character, his power, and our wimpiness, our smallness. You know, we are finite beings stuck in a little body with this infinite God who speaks universes into existence. You can't come into contact with him without worship. You know, you come into a contact with a God like that, with the character that he has, and one of the byproducts of that is going to be a lifestyle of worship. Now, I'm just being honest with you. If you haven't developed that, if that isn't a normal outflow of your life, God wants to do something in you. He wants to bring you to the place where the natural outflow of your life, from the Bible says, from the rising of the sun to the going down are the same. The name of the Lord is to be praised. That's a purpose that God has for you. Intimacy and worship. A life of prayer. That's part of the package. God is a God who wants to hear from us, and he wants us to hear from him. A lifestyle, listen to this. This is all about relationship. God's purpose for us is relationship. A lifestyle of honesty before God, not hiding, not walking in sin and pretending it doesn't exist, and shrinking away from the presence of God because we blew it, and we somehow fear him. No. God wants a relationship with us where we come before the throne of God absolutely open, knowing that he sees everything we are, knowing that there's nothing hidden from him, and we come boldly before God, and we say, God, this is who I really am. This is what's really going on in my heart. This is what you see it all, and I want a real relationship with you where you see everything I am. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of God has dealt with all of that. We have nothing to fear. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. There's no condemnation. You don't need to fear coming into the presence of God because Jesus died in your place. God is not going to kill you in that kind of way. Okay? You can come before the throne of God with all of your weakness, with all of your sin, all the hidden things, and you can let them come right out in the presence of God. And God is going to love you. He's going to build you. He's going to transform you, change your life, make you more like him, and deal with those areas. So relationship with God means honesty. Relationship with God means we don't hide from him. Relationship with God means we don't have a secret life where we're trying to push God in the background. No, we bring him into the foreground with all the stuff in us. These are some of the purposes of God. A lifestyle of honesty and submission. When God says, I want you to do this, we say, yes, God. God says, I want you to go here. We say, yes, God. God says, I want you to deal with this in your life. We say, yes, God. Yes, God. A heart of obedience, a heart that responds quickly to the voice of God that says, yes, God, whatever you want, whatever your will is, I'm going to do it. That's part of the package, okay, of relationship with God. He is boss, I'm not. He is Lord, I'm not. He's the one who actually gets to direct. He owns me. The Bible says I'm bought with a price. My life does not belong to me. It belongs to him. He actually gets to do what he wants with my life. That's real Christianity, guys. People who don't just believe with their minds, they believe with their lives, and they believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and they submit to him. Then, a lifestyle of pursuit of the word. Now, that's relationship with God is one of the primary purposes of God. Secondly, Jesus' purpose is that every believer would be a part of a body. Jesus Christ came to build a church. He came to build his body. He came to take people and to knit them into his body. Now, I planned this message out this morning, not knowing who would be here, not knowing where you're at, but maybe this is just for you. Maybe this point right here, right now, is just for you. Maybe you live a life that is largely dislocated from the body of Christ. And I want to tell you, that is not God's purpose for you. The Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, that we are to be fitly and tightly joined together with each other. We're to have real relationship, because one of the things that God wants to do through us is he wants to minister and grow other people through Jesus living inside of us and through us. Are you with me on that? Okay, I'm just kind of going through this stuff quickly. Now I want to get down to the third thing. So there's three basic purposes of God. One is that I would have relationship with him. Second is that we would have relationship with each other, the way God defines that relationship. But here's the third thing, brothers and sisters, and this is what I want to talk about today. Before I get into this third point, I just want to say this. Churches have problems, and Christians have problems, with getting this stuff out of balance. There are people who think that they can live their Christian life in isolation from everybody else. And it's all about just me and Jesus. You know, my relationship with Jesus. I don't care about the body. I don't care about, you know, I don't care about anything else. It's just me and Jesus. I'm gonna go home, turn on the TV set, listen to some preacher, and I'm going to get my feeding from some guy somewhere else in the world, in the States, and it's just me and Jesus. I'm going to tell you, that is, me and Jesus is good. That's only part of the package. Another error is that we make this, what we have right here, the primary center. And so our purpose and our time and our goals revolve solely around our individual relationship with Jesus and this group of people right here. We focus our primary, and it's good stuff. I want Daniel to grow up and to be all that he can be, and so do you, and we love him. We have a relationship with Daniel, and we're all pouring into Daniel, and Daniel's maturing and growing and becoming a great man of God. Praise God for all of that. But if that's all we do is minister to each other in the confines of this group where all of us are feeding on the Word and growing up in Jesus and becoming greater and greater, and that's all we do, we've missed one of the primary purposes of God. And this is what I want to turn your eyes toward today. I want to turn your eyes. Yes, you have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's absolutely critical. You cannot do anything without that. Yes, you were called to be a part of a body. And you must knit yourself in. And you must knit your heart to other people. But I want you to hear this, the third thing that matters to Jesus. And I want you to hear it from his mouth. And I want you to hear it from the Word of God. And brothers and sisters, I want to give you Jesus' vision today. And if you're taking notes, take notes, write these things down. We'll put them up on the website. Starting Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Jesus came. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Why did Jesus come? Yeah, he came for you as a person. You actually were one of those lost. And yeah, you did come into a personal relationship with him. And isn't that a wonderful thing? And you get fed by him, and he's with you. Everywhere you go, he's with you. And praise God, he knit you into a body. He sought you. You were lost. He went after you. He knit you into a body. And praise God, you're in a body. But you need to know that as much of the heart of God that was toward you when you were lost and wandering and dead in your sins and separated from God, that at the day that you came to Christ, Jesus did not all of a sudden stop having that goal and stop having that ministry. Now, I found the one, now it's all over, the rest of the planet Earth, well, God bless you all, but I've got my child. No. This passion was actually in Christ before the foundation of the world. He saw unbelieving, broken sinners, lives destroyed. The Bible says he saw us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He saw Christ as crucified before the world began. It was in his purpose. Way back then, it was in his heart. Way back then, he already had people in his heart. You happen to be one of them. You were in his heart way back there. But Jesus wants you to know that his heart hasn't changed. He is still seeking and saving lost people. You want to know where Jesus is? You want to know what Jesus is spending his time on? Yes, he's spending time on you as an individual. Yes, he's spending on time on us as a church. And praise God for all the good things that are in that are all a part of his purpose. But his eyes are also still on the lost. His heart is beating for the lost. And if we get the relationship part, and that's the only place we live, or if we get the body part, and that's the only place we live, we have missed a major segment of the purpose that Jesus Christ lives for in planet Earth today. And every church and our church must have this as a primary purpose and focus. Please hear me. Every church exists for this purpose. The Rock exists for this purpose. Matthew chapter 9. Well, Jesus was having dinner in Matthew's house. Many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Sinners! Yucky! Broken! Vile! You know, depraved sinners. You know, sinners it's just too generic of a word. I'm talking, these guys are, we're talking bad. We're talking the dregs of society. We're talking about people, they're sinners. I don't know how to say that in a heavier way. But that's who he was hanging out with. He was hanging out with the worst of the worst. And the Pharisees come along and they say to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with these? And I hope you can see the venom or the indignation that was in them, the criticism. How could he possibly do this? Why does your teacher eat with these tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, now listen carefully. You want to know where Jesus' heart is beating? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, it is the sick. But go and learn what this means. He quotes from the Old Testament, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Can I say to you that God is well pleased with your sacrifices of praise? Can I say today you brought an offering in here? You lifted your heart to Jesus. You honored him. You worshiped him. He's pleased with those sacrifices. But you got to also understand, there's a whole other side. God sent his son into this world to bring mercy to sinners, to reach sinners. And so he says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come not to call the righteous. I have come to call sinners. Okay, this is Jesus. I came into this world for this purpose. This is why I'm here. This is why I'm still on planet Earth. This is what I'm doing on planet Earth. I am calling sinners. Now remember, as he is, so are we in this world. It's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. The person who lays down his life, denies himself, takes up his cross, follows me, and lays down his life for my sake and the gospel, that person is going to find it. Please hear this. This heart in Jesus has to beat inside of all of us. A heart that beats for sinners. Where do you spend the majority of your time? And what do you spend the majority of your time on? I asked you that question because I want you to think, but what we're doing with our lives. We're doing a lot of the first and the second thing, I believe. You know, relationship with God and, you know, body and with being with each other, building each other up and strength. And all of that's important. It's all part of Jesus' purpose. But we cannot miss this. Every one of us. Not some of us. All of us. We cannot miss this. And let me go on from there. John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for my sheep. Don't you love that? Jesus lays down his life for you. Not just once, not just on the cross. He's laying down his life for you all the time. Every day of your life, Jesus is laying down his life for you. Jesus lives actually for you. You are his child. His eyes are on you. You're his bride. He loves you. He values you. But please hear this. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. Them, now listen to the imperative here. Them I must. I must. Them I must bring also. I want to ask you the question. Do you feel that imperative in your heart? Because it's in Jesus' heart. Do you feel, and I must? I must regarding the sheep that aren't in the pen yet. Because this Jesus that you came into relationship with, who set you in a body, who desires all the things that he has for us inside this body, also has a deep, intense desire for those who are outside the pen, who aren't in yet. And yes, he loves you, and yes, he wants to be among you, and yes, he wants to do all the things that he does for us. But his primary purpose in coming to this world was to seek and save that which is lost. You're already in. And the righteous, you know, the people who aren't sick don't need a doctor. We all know we need Jesus, right? We do need Jesus, but it's an emphasis. It's where you put the exclamation mark. Jesus put the exclamation mark there. You know, the people who are well don't need a doctor. Why am I hanging out with publicans and sinners? It's because they're sick. They need a doctor. They need to be healed. They need mercy. They need the truth that's going to set them free. They need the gospel that's going to deliver them from the power of sin. They need me. You've already got them. Jesus isn't going to forget you. He's not going to just, well, you've already got me. I've got you. Well, you know, all right, I'm going to leave you now. No, he is still in the sheep pen. But his eyes are on the fields. His eyes are on those who haven't found him yet. And brothers and sisters, please hear this today. Our eyes must be there too. Our eyes must be there. Why? Because Jesus' eyes are. A lot of what Jesus is doing in the earth today involves reaching those people. Listen to this. We're to be like Jesus. Okay? Here's what Jesus is like. This is John chapter 4. My nourishment. What's that? You know, how many of you ever experienced hunger? You know? Or thirst. Hunger or thirst, okay? That's what he's saying. My nourishment. I crave something to the degree that it's just a deep, intense thing. And when I get it, it satisfies me. This is what I long for. This is what I take in. And this is where I find my nourishment. Listen to this. Listen to what nourishes Jesus. My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Now, we quote that. We often stop right there. Let me read the rest to you. That's the introduction. He's going to tell you what nourishes him and what the work is that he's talking about and the will of God is. I'll run it right through. My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Do you think the work of harvesting will not begin until the summer 4 months from now? Look around you. He's talking about what nourishes him and the Father's work. Look around you. Look around you. Can I say to you today, look around you. Not just in this room. Look around you. All over this city, the neighborhoods, your friends, your relatives, all around you. This is Jesus saying, look around you. Vast fields. And I love this translation. I'm not quoting King Jimmy here. This is a modern translation. Vast fields of human souls are ripening all around us. and are ready for reaping. My nourishment is to do the will of the Father. This is where I get my absolute sustenance. And he says, right after that, look around you. Here it is. Here's what's on my heart. Here's what I'm going after. Here's what matters to me. This is where my heart is pulsing. This is where my eyes are, on this vast harvest field. Look around you. Vast fields of human souls are ripening all around us and are ready now for reaping. The reapers will be paid good wages and will be gathering eternal souls into the granaries of heaven. Don't you love that? You were some of that. You guys got gathered into the granaries of heaven. Jesus went out and sought you when you were dead, when you were separated from him. You were the lost sheep. You were the lost son. You were the lost coin that Jesus went after. And he searched until he found you because he wanted this dead soul to come alive and be with him forever in heaven. You already got it. But what does Jesus want? He wants you to feel what he still feels. He wants you to see what he still sees. He wants your heart to be where his heart still is. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if all we do as a church is my relationship with God and us relationship with each other, and don't we have a wonderful little church that does all we come and minister to each, all the gifts. It's about our gifts being released to each other and edifying and building each other up. I don't want to negate any of that. All of that is absolutely Jesus. It's absolutely important. But if that's all we have, we're missing the primary center of why Jesus Christ went to the cross. It isn't just about us. It's about millions upon millions of fallen souls that are separated from God who need eternal life. The reapers are going to be paid good wages, and they'll be gathering eternal souls into the granaries of heaven. What joys! What joys await the sower and the reaper together! For it is true that one sows and one reaps. I send you to reap. Please hear the word of Jesus. This is Jesus talking. I send you to reap. Where you did not sow, others did the work, and you're going to receive the harvest. Now, please hear that, brothers and sisters. It's why the rock exists. We exist for this purpose, okay? I already quoted to you Luke chapter 15. Lost coin, lost sheep, lost son. Please read, when you go home, read Luke 15. Every one of those is about the heart of Jesus toward those that are lost. Okay, familiar passages of Scripture. John chapter 3, we all know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son for what? So that whoever believes in him, listen carefully, would not perish, would not be destroyed, would not go into eternity in hell. God loved the world. God loves the world. God loves the world around you. He loves your co-workers. He loves the people in the restaurants. He loves the neighbor down the street. He loves your unsaved relatives. He loves, not like we love, infinite love, unconditional love. He loves them so much that he gave the very highest thing that he could possibly give, which was the life of his own son, also that they out there would not perish but have everlasting life. Now, brothers and sisters, that's got to beat inside of us. We receive it for our own lives. We receive it for me. Oh, God, I thank you that you love me. I'm not perishing, praise God, but others are. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. 2 Peter chapter 3. He's not slow in keeping his promise, as some count slowness. He is patient, not wanting any to perish. Do you hear that? He doesn't want any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. His heart is on the perishing. Why hasn't Jesus come back yet? The context is the coming of the Lord, by the way. What's holding Jesus from coming back? You read this passage. What's holding Jesus from coming back is he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Hundreds of thousands and millions upon millions of souls are being ushered into the kingdom of God all over this earth today. And there is a harvest here. Why hasn't Jesus returned yet? It's because he's long-suffering toward this earth, and he's not willing that a single one would perish. That's our mandate. And now I want to close with Luke chapter 14. Jesus replied, "A certain man prepared a great banquet, invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to those who had been invited to say to them, 'Come, everything's ready.' But they all alike began making excuses. The first said, 'I bought a field. I must go see the field. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try those oxen out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married. I can't come. I just got married.' The servant came back and reported to his master all that they had said. Now, you listen to this. Then the owner of the house became angry." You know something's anger God. And we have an image of God that God doesn't have any negative emotions ever. Something angered God. This angered God. But his response, listen to what his response was. "The owner of the house became angry, and he ordered his servant." This is what he said, and I believe this is the message to the church today. "Go out quickly into the streets, into the alleys of the town. Bring in the poor. Bring in the crippled. Bring in the blind. Bring in the lame." And then the servant said, "What you've ordered has been done, and there's still more room." Listen to the heart of Jesus. "We went out into the streets and alleys of the town. We brought the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. We did just as you had ordered. There's still more room. There's still more room. Please hear this. There's still more room." The master said to his servant, "Go out into the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in. Compel them to come in so that my house will be full." Thank God for The Rock. Thank God for the other churches in this area. But I hope you hear that Jesus is not satisfied. I hope you hear that he's not just satisfied with our wonderful gatherings where he always shows up. You know, wherever 2 or 3 are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of us, that he will always show up. He will always come. He will always minister to us. He will always pour himself out on us. But you need to know, I need to know, brothers and sisters, that he is not satisfied with just us. And we must not be satisfied with just us. If this church becomes self-centered, self-focused, what we can get from God, it's all about what we enjoy when we're together and what a glorious, wonderful thing we have with the Spirit of God among us. I want to tell you, I believe that angers the heart of God, because he saved us for the purpose of winning this world. Jesus ascends from the dead. "Go ye therefore, make disciples of all." He rises from the dead, goes to the cross, defeats death, defeats sin, and then commissions the church. "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." Why did he save you? Yeah, he saved you to be a great mom, a great dad, a great grandparent. Yeah, he saved you to be a great friend, a great servant of Christ, a great person who gives away all that Jesus has put inside you for the body. But that's not all. He saved you to do exactly what Jesus does, to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to turn our focus. I don't say it to you this way. We need to start thinking about everything that we do as a church. You just start thinking about our small groups, our prayer meetings. Start thinking about the group activities that we have, barbecues, fellowship times, you know, every single thing that we do as a church. And we have to start thinking in terms of making those gatherings things that reach other people. Connect groups, Praise God that you got a wonderful connect group that's full of a whole bunch of people who've been Christians for years, and they love each other, and you have a great thing going. I want to tell you, God's eyes are on you, but his eyes are also on the lost. And you got to somehow think about that. You got to think about how to get your group so it's connecting and giving away and touching other people. This is what Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.